Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings. Welcome to another segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. Wow, it is so wonderful to be here again with you today. Of course, given the fact that during last night's broadcast, we got abruptly disconnected and could not get back to the boards in any reasonable period of time. So we decided to, again, reschedule a special edition for today. It was kind of a plan that we had in motion already because with so much going on this week, coming in this week, we wanted to really kind of stay on top of things. But we certainly didn't have any idea that we would be preempted or moved out or whatever last night. So that is what happened for those who were tuning in, and we did get some reports that people tried to call in and got the response that no show had been scheduled or whatever. And the fact of the matter is, once we go off, then that show kind of gets canceled out until we try to get back on. But we were not able to do that last night. So, again, we're here tonight, again, with a special edition of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and as usual, we always give thanks and praises to our Creator, and we always make certain that we give ample recognition to our freedom-fighting ancestors. Well, now, let's see. We're going to pick up a little bit from where we left off last night and kind of give you a little bit of review also. Now, of course, we had Brother Darrell Jordan on last night. And just as we were, you know, almost completing some of the dialogue that had to do with the FBI being, and not just FBI being in Philadelphia, because the FBI had been in Philadelphia, so that's nothing new. But this new agency that was recently, over the past couple of years, I guess, this agency had been in Philly, based in Philly. Its operations were statewide, meaning the state of Pennsylvania, because they were hired by the Homeland Security, Rendell, who's now leaving. But the person is coming in, that's going to be real interesting, too. That's something for a whole nother conversation. But at any rate, under the Rendell administration, an agency was hired, and that particular agency was really based in Israel and was doing contracted, to do anti-terrorism investigation, training, and so forth and so on. So recently, that had been exposed or disclosed to the masses, and of course there's been several meetings and dialogues about it. And so we were talking about that last night. Well, as we were talking about it, and of course we were able to get out quite a bit of information, especially around the fact that there is an upcoming meeting on Wednesday. Of course, the Third World Coalition, which is a part of the Friends or group here in Philadelphia, and of course those who are familiar with the Quaker Friends, they are known all over the world, really. They have bases all through the U.S. as well. But anyway, the event is going to take place at the Friends location at 15th and Cherry on Wednesday. Well, as we said, we were discussing this, of course, with Brother Darrell Jordan, and I'm going to give out his telephone number again for those who may be interested in participating on that date. They might want to go or might want to call him, let him know that you want to volunteer. Or if you have some information you might want to share, certainly that will be welcome. But a large number of representatives from a variety of groups and organizations is supposedly going to be there on Wednesday. Now, if you want more information about that, you can call area code 215-241-7181. Again, 215-241-7181. Now, we're going to later on give you the website of the group that we were talking about. I believe it was ITT. I'll have it for you very shortly. And I want to give you that website so you can go check that out. It's very important. There's some very interesting stuff up there. Okay, the next thing we want to bring to your attention is that we are going to have Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. come on a little later on. He's going to really give us some insight and reports on what's going on in Cali around the Oscar Grant decision or I don't even know what to call it at this point, because all of you are as outraged as I am, and then some. So, you know, what more can we say? But what needs to be discussed at this point is what can be done, what is going to be done. So that's kind of what our dialogue is going to be about a little later on when we bring on Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. Of course, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. represents POCC and just a whole lot of other conscious realms of action and so forth. So, again, we're going to talk with him roughly in about an hour. In the meantime, what we're also going to do is hear from Brother Ramesses, who is based right here in Philly. He's a member of the UNIA Division 121 segment, and he has tomorrow night coming on his show, which is called Legacy of a Nation. You can hear it through the Internet, and we'll give you that information shortly, too. It's not a blog show hookup. It's a station here in Philadelphia called Word. A lot of good information goes through there. It's said to be the only black radio station or radio programming in the Philadelphia Tri-State area. So Brother Ramesses tomorrow has none other than Dr. Francis Kress Welsing and Neely Fuller Jr. on his program tomorrow. So he's going to give you a little insight about that, as well as to give you some idea about his show that was on last week. We talked with on his show last week, Mr. William Singletary, and, of course, Sister Pam Africa. Now, I did have the opportunity to talk with Mr. Singletary a little while ago, and we've come up with some additional types of things that we as black folks want to begin to do in reference to the situation in case of Mumia Abu-Jamal. So I'm going to tell you a little more about that later on as well. Let's see. So, again, we're going to have Brother Ramesses on, and he's going to talk also about some upcoming activities, especially December 11th. There's going to be some hearings and training and so forth here in Philadelphia for those who have had any kinds of incidences with police or governmental misconduct, terrorism, whatever. And, again, it doesn't have to be police per se. It can be any type of what you may feel, violation of your rights or what have you, be it human, constitutional, civil, what have you, or anything else that you feel was a violation or some form of excessive something or negligent. We want to know what that is. We want to know about that. So you'll be able to provide information about that via through testimonial, verbal testimonial, or through writing, okay? And that's going to take place on December 11th here in Philly at the Songhai City Cultural Center. It is the first of several sessions that will be held in the community, in our village, to begin to further document and to provide proactive kinds of strategies towards how to proceed once we have the information that we feel we need to have. So Brother Ramesses will give you more information about that as well when he comes on. And let's see, he's going to also give us a report on last night's event, which was the Universal Dance and Drum Ensemble. Okay, I mean, it was powerful to say the least. And, we are so blessed to have Brother Rob and Sister Wanda here in the Philadelphia area. They provide, you know, some things that is just incredible, and we're going to make sure that we are able to help get, you know, people more familiar with what they do, how they work with the youth, and how they uphold our culture, and so forth and so on. So last night there was a annual dinner that the Universal Dance and Drama Ensemble had here in Philly. They usually have it in the New Jersey area, but this time it was held here in Philly, and it was powerful, it was beautiful, and, you know, well-attended and just a lot of good vibes and energy. And we want to extend to them a you know, heartfelt congratulations and best wishes on, continuing the work that they've been doing now for at least 25 years. I think I've been knowing them for at least 25 years. And they have continued to do that work. And are constantly growing. So, again, we salute them, and we are thankful for them. Okay, so Brother Robinson can kind of give you a little insight into some of what happened last night, including the fact that we announced two of our regional, now regional, MWM queens. Okay, we said we were going to do that, and we have begun the process. So two of the new MWM, Million Woman Movement, queens, regional queens, were announced last night. All right, and so we'll be able to tell you a little more about that as well. Okay, let's see, what else? Anything else we want to cover? Let's see, it was one of the things we wanted to convey to you, and I think that was in reference to something else. Oh, tomorrow there is, of course, here in Philly, the debate, the big debate with attorney Michael Cord and attorney D.A. Seth Williams. Now, that is going to be powerful. And as I mentioned last night, it looks like there is a possibility that we will be able to broadcast live from there tomorrow night. So stay tuned, because that's going to be on point, and it will be live, so you'll be able to hear it right from there. Okay, now, last thing, coming on tonight will also be Sister Wasita, who, of course, is going to remind you about the upcoming event in the D.C. area on November the 11th. I will be attending that event and bringing forward the MW Movement initiatives. Tonight's announcements will be related to some of those initiatives, so all you have to do is kind of stay tuned and on point. And we're going to really, I think, give you a lot of insight into several things. Now, before we give you a few words from Mumia and talking about the situation with Oscar Grant, we want to remind you, or want to let you know, that Philly has had a victory here very recently. Sometimes it's hard to pay attention or to appreciate victories here in Philly because, you know, these people are so vicious in how they operate. In case you haven't gotten insight, Philly is a very cliquish and a very cutthroat city. Now, I know many of you probably are living in similar situations, but certainly, you know, Philly has got to be on the top of the chart there, somewhere up in there. And what we're going to do is kind of show you, give you some examples as to some of the things that they do here. So with that said, there was a victory, what we call a victory, that occurred just a few days ago. It was found out, and I'm not sure exactly how, but the way it was found out was not, you know, what we feel was in the best interest of the people. It's been known for weeks that Mumia's hearing was coming up, or that the hearing was coming up for the Federal Third Circuit Court on November the 9th. So that's been known for a while. It's been advertised. It's, you know, there's been movement action to get people to come, to support, so forth and so on. Well, last week, we began to realize that something else was being held on November the 9th. It was police misconduct meetings or hearings. Now, of course, there have been groups and persons who have been attempting to do that for a few months now, for a while. But to agree to have that held on November the 9th, well, that's suspect at best, knowing that, you know, so many people have been working, mobilizing, and so forth, to really make certain that we had a clear presence in this case of Mumia Abu-Jamal. So we're going to talk about that in a minute, too. We're going to talk about why was that done? Why was it done? Who was behind it? But again, to let you know that if our people do, in fact, remain consistent, adamant, no compromising, we can win. Because as a result of that, the date for the police misconduct hearings has been changed. And believe me, it was a struggle to do that because those that were attempting to do it tried their best to make sure that it was done on that date. But fortunately, with Sister Pam Africa, Sister Basima, who will be coming on very shortly, and others, all over the city, people were calling City Hall and other you know, groups and organizations haven't done to call City Hall, because this was a hearing that was being conducted or sponsored or co-sponsored by City Council members in conjunction with several organizations too, nonprofit organizations, by the way. Anyway, we're going to tell you more about that as well, because it's interesting to know how people function and how people flow. So before we do that, we want to just go to, as we said, we want to have a few words or hear a few words from Mumia Abu-Jamal as it pertained to Oscar Grant. And mind you, this commentary occurred or was done before September 5th. So nevertheless, it's, we think, quite on point.
Brothers, sisters, mis hermanos y hermanas, Oscar Grant's killing by BART was far more than a public and family tragedy. It was a deadly assault on the black and youth community in the Bay Area. Yet, what if no one taped it? I doubt any one of us would be there. Another point. I'll bet there ain't many politicians there. I may be wrong, but I think it's safe to say there ain't many. They bug the hell out of you every few years for a vote, and when you need them, they're nowhere to be found. It should tell you in a nutshell all you need to know about politics in the black community, where they serve power and not people. Oscar Grant could have happened in Richmond, in L.A., in Roxbury, or North Philly, and the state's response would have been the same, just doing their job. Only phone cameras made any difference at all. And, of course, people who wouldn't let it go, like you. So, fight on. To quote the late, great Kwame Ture, organize, 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 organize. Thank you. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
All right. Well, as you can tell, you know, as usual, quite clear, quite concise, and definitely, you know, right on point. That again was Mumia Abu-Jamal talking about the situation with the Oscar Grant case, and that particular commentary again was done before the actual decision came down. Okay, so you know it's really a situation that we have to pay very close attention to and be cognizant of the fact that you can't really expect justice here in the United States. You really can't. It doesn't mean that we must not continue to fight, but certainly you have to know that the attainment of justice is just something that, you know, it is not what you think is going to happen. But a luta continua, the struggle does indeed continue. I was really happy to hear Mumia mention Baba Kwame Ture. I had the opportunity to sit with Baba Kwame on an occasion or two, and especially at a time right before his becoming an ancestor. And, you know, getting the reassurance that the work for MWM that I had set forward, getting the assurance that it was indeed necessary, it was indeed on point, and it was indeed appreciated, at least by those who had some comprehension of what it was that was really going on. And that's why today it's so important to let our people know how we're moving forward now. And so that's kind of what I'm going to give you a little bit of insight into now before we go to our live line. And we want to remind you as well that we're going to open up the chat room in about 5 minutes. You can give us a call here at 646-652-2232. Again, 646-652-2232. If you wish to, you know, give us a comment, or if you want to join in on the dialogue a little later on, you most certainly can do so. However, in the meantime, what I'd like to do is give you a bit of what our special announcements were or are for the Million Women Movement. Now, very shortly, there will be an article coming out in The Final Call I will be now writing several articles for The Final Call, as well as a few other independent news and communication sources. We now find it very necessary, and when I say we, I'm talking about now the original and official Million Woman March and its movement. We find it very necessary now to make certain that our information and communications are readily available and circulating well. So by January of 2011, you will have commentaries and articles and so forth appearing in several either newspapers or some other form of communications throughout the U.S. So now that's one aspect of things. So with that said, one of the reasons why that's being implemented in that way is to assure that our platform, mission statement, and all the things that go with that is not only well understood and clearly identified as being, you know, coming from the actual founding office and so forth, but also to allow those who are interested to be able to get involved, to support, and so forth and so on. Okay, so, you know, the reality is we wanted to make sure that there was no, I won't say excuses, but, you know, just to make sure that we were able to assure that people had the ability to get involved. All right. Now, the next thing is, let's see. Hold on, I'm just checking on something. We just got a message from Chairman Fred, so we're going to have to make sure that he has the information that he needs. So we'll do that in a moment. But the other thing we want to tell you about the upcoming MWM 5-year action plan. But what I want to do before we do that, I see that Sister Basima has finally called in. We've been waiting for her, and Sister Wasita is also almost ready. So we're going to go to Sister Basima first and, again, get that report on the people's victory. And then we're going to move right along with hearing from Sister Wasita. So without further ado, again, we mentioned earlier that there was an attempt here in Philly to kind of derail some things that was going on. Certainly the movement and the work to make certain that the presence and the voices were heard in terms of Mumia Abdul-Jamal. I mean, it had been going on for months now. In fact, when it was first learned that the Federal Third District Court was going to convene on November the 9th, people went to work nationwide. Well, obviously here in Philly, that didn't really matter too much for some, because when the opportunity came to hold these quote-unquote police misconduct hearings, someone came up with this grand idea to have it on none other than November 9th. Now, coincidental? Doubt it. But I'm going to go to our live line, and I'm going to let our sister Basima Mubay tell you about it, because she was directly involved in the campaign of calling city council and, you know, getting people involved to let folks know that this cannot happen. And again, family, it didn't, meaning because the people were adamant, because the people were consistent, because the people were not going to tolerate it, city council decided to change the date. So, again, I'm going to let Sister Basima tell you about it. And our sister, of course, is an original participant and coordinator for the Million Woman March, and remains today one of our very active and vocal supporters. And not only that, is now also a parent body member, executive member of the wonderful, historic UNIAACU. Okay, so let's go to our live line, and we're going to be joined with Sister Basima Mubay. Hey, sis.
Yes, greetings, peace, Sister Filet, Empress. How are you?
I'm good. We're good.
Yes, we are. We're in a wonderful situation at this time. You have so much going on this evening. I think it's really powerful. And I'm glad to be a part of the listening audience, and as well as one of the speakers for this evening.
Mm-hmm.
We are at a very historical point in our space, in our time, as we talk about the case of Mumia Abdul-Jamal, police misconduct, police brutality, And just the total awareness of the justice system as it relates to the police misconduct. As we can look at the situation, I mean, we have Abu Jamal, we can tie it in with almost 30 years ago, you know. Same games, it's new strategy. But it has really been a fantastic week here in the city of Philadelphia. As they say, the city of brotherly love, the affection.
That's right.
Really moved into a whole new arena historically as we struggle against the vicious behavior here of police brutality. But yes, we were really alarmed. Of course, we were really excited that we had made this mark in history as we move forward with our work. But alarmed to know that it was somehow, given a date for the 9th of November. And myself and Sister Pam, we looked at one another and we were in the city council room and it became, you know, clear that we had to go struggle. So she moved out and I moved with her and we approached the councilwoman of the historical change, I'll say Councilwoman Donna Reed Miller, who was the forerunner in getting this happen along with Curtis Jones, but power to the people, because nothing would have happened with people's power.
That's right.
Being put in order for them to do so. This has had, particularly here in Philadelphia, has been one of the most cries out since the Rodney King. It became more publicly, but of course they suppressed it even more and more, trying to alleviate any type of awareness on the behavior of the police officers. But we continue to move forward in order to try to work along with even that date. Yes, it's about Mumia Abu-Jamal, but we're workable. You know, International Concerned Citizens Family, Mumia Abu-Jamal, I scared the board provision, UNIA, we understand that things happen, so we were willing to negotiate between the time. But no way could we have worked at 1:30 for the hearing on November the 9th, and Mumia's case was being held at 2 o'clock. And so we were told that they were working along with us and tried to readjust that time, but we really ran up against some real seasoned people here in the city, particularly being long-term members of the new, I mean, the Black Panther Party. I had to put it out here, Sister Filet, because, you know, for me, it's not about always just saying somebody, we need to identify these people and begin to make it clear that our struggle becomes indirectly and becomes personal. You know, we have a lot of things that we have to deal with personally before we even get to the system. So I just want to say that, you know, I'm going to put it out there, Paula People Taylor, you know, one of the organizers and brother tried to work along with keeping November the 9th as a date. It was some real serious issues, and so we really had to check ourselves. It became a little question in terms of why be so persistent to separate the power of the people, and why aren't you looking to be at Mumia's trial on a date?
Yeah, well, and that needs to be said very clearly because, you know, as we proceed in dealing with struggle for liberation, you know, in general, we've got to begin to identify who is who and what is what as we proceed. So, you know, that pertains to individuals and organizations who say they are about social justice work or freedom or self-determination, but in fact, do things that is so now obvious. Now, a perfect example of that, as you well know, Sister Basima, is the position that these anti-death penalty people, advocates, so-called advocates, made. Clearly, it's such a contradiction to say on one hand you're fighting against the death penalty, but then on the other hand make a clear declaration that we don't feel we need to support Mumia any longer, and we suggest that you don't too. So
absolutely,
now the type of politics that we're seeing today is we are letting people show us not that they can talk out of the side of their mouths, but that they will, and they are, right in our faces. So here we had a situation where people knowing that this hearing of life and death.
And death.
Okay.
That's right, sister.
This is why we have to say this, family. This is why we have to let you know that this has happened, because we're talking about a situation definitely without a shadow of a doubt pertaining to the immediate life and death. So to have anyone to come up in that and try to derail people, hey, you all figure it out.
And I just want to add, you know, because it becomes clear to us that we live in Philadelphia, where it carries over at least 26 million people throughout the state. But what about the people?
Mm-hmm.
In order for us to be able to say that this is a problem throughout the city of Philadelphia, throughout the state of Pennsylvania, particularly Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
that we have to have the power of the people collaborate with all of the people. So that became bigger than the question of just having it on that date. How do you isolate the other people who
mm-hmm.
have been being abused?
Mm-hmm.
And so we continue to push forward. We recognize that our struggle was in-house, and so we understood that the power came outside of our house. So we fought with the power to be, opposed to take this thing on an internal point at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And we started there, unfortunately, but we had to reorganize and strategize in order to make sure that the voices of the people that is heard. Sister Pam Africa, doing a great job, brothers and sisters, an excellent job. For those that you know and those that you don't, Sister Pam is the president of the International Concerned Family and Friends of Mumia Abu-Jamal and Minister of Confrontation for the MOVE organization. So right on front line, carrying out the work to make sure that the people's voices are heard. And I just would just like to add, you know, when I went to go meet with the young man to find out exactly what was happening, he had stated to me very clearly that he had no opposition about the knife. And I indicated to him that it's only in respect of Councilwoman Donna Reed Miller, who asked us to wait till Tuesday in order to make that decision. But if that's what you're weighing it by, I indicated to him that when I leave your office, I'll let my people start calling because we've been waiting. And so he said, well, I'll let, you know, when you leave, you know, do that. Let them start calling. I said, I certainly will. And I mean, you know, this police brutality and misconduct is very real to particularly the black community, Hispanic community, and not leaving out the European community. I have to indicate that because what has happened is that we must look at the numbers in terms of what we got. African people of color have been more brutalized to this number of stop and frisk, the number of murder, police misconduct, framing. We overweigh anything. So you have to look at the numbers and compare. It's still a crisis in the city. People call. They went all over Facebook. People call. They got so tired of us calling. It wasn't but 24 hours before they had, you know, they made their mind up. They said, look, we know it's not going to be on the 9th. We don't know what day it's going to be on yet. And that was victory for the ears of the people, you know. So we say power to the people. Empress Filet, I'm doing an excellent job here, you know, and making sure that the information get out around the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal. This is very serious, brothers and sisters. We had another level in history, and the people have set forward to make sure that our voices be heard. And so all I can say is we give thanks, you know, to Mother Earth, to the Creator. We give thanks to all those that work along with us and want change for African people throughout the world.
Give thanks. Sister, thank you so much, you know, for sharing that information, because for those 2 days or 1 day, it was extremely, you know, kind of tense and critical. And again, to have that work get done so quickly, because there was so much consistency, there was so much commitment with people calling and texting and, you know, whatever. And as a result, again, the date was changed. But we still must take note of the fact that, you know, there was an attempt to do that. And I think we need to take heed, because this will tell us, or at least for me, it shows us of the things to come. Anytime somebody make a move like that a situation like this, or an international situation, for a move to be made of that nature, surely that's an indication of things to come. And again, not just Philly, folks. Remember, if you see stuff happening in Philly, we know it's happening in other places too, and if it's not, more likely it will.
And just one thing quickly, if I may add, we are informed, brothers and sisters, that there are 12 states throughout the United States of America who have already organized and made it against the law that you cannot film while the police are doing whatever. This is critical.
That's right.
It goes against your human rights. We need to organize and stand up. These things need to be changed. I know it's coming to a town near you. They're going to bring it to us, and we're ready to resist.
That's right.
So I want to share that.
Absolutely. And before you close out, sis, I want to just remind people that we did last night talk about with Darryl Jordan about the FBI surveillance stuff. And
that's
as I indicated earlier, we were able to talk about it for a little while, and then all of a sudden we were cut off of the air. So, again, we're going to dialogue about this a little further, too, especially after Wednesday. Now, I won't be here Wednesday, Sister Basima, Mom Basima, because I'll be heading to D.C., but of course, hopefully you. I know Sister Pam will be going, and I know Darryl will be there. So we'll be reporting on the next show about that upcoming meeting, and it's to address the issue of this anti-terrorism stuff and the things that they have been doing and are projected to do.
That's right.
Okay. So, again, I give thanks for you taking the time to join us, and we're going to try to broadcast live tomorrow night from the Constitution Center during the debate.
Oh, powerful.
Okay, so if so, we certainly will tap you then and let you give your, you know, analysis and so forth tomorrow night.
All right, so I'm looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. It has been a pleasure. Keep up the good work, sister, and I'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Now, before you go, sis, I have to make this disclaimer so that people are very clear about something, and that is this. While my sister just said, and diplomatically so, that we have to take into consideration, you know, that other people are also being, mishandled or whatever, I just want to put a sidebar on there. I don't. Okay. I don't, and the show is not geared for that, so but I'm glad that my sister is, you know, diplomatic enough to share that and represent that for us. All right, sis, I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, and I'll see you soon.
All right, peace out. All right, family, that again was Sister Masima Mube, and she is the fourth Vice President Assistant General, I believe is the correct title, of the historic UNIA-ACL. All right, so that, and that covers nationwide and international. All right, give thanks. So what we're going to do now is move right along, because we have, of course, Sister Wasita coming up next. And, again, as I indicated, I will be in the D.C. area on November the 11th. I've been honored to be invited, and I'm really pleased to hear the work that has been done there over the years, and certainly excited about the work that is about to come, okay? What I'll be doing when I go there on the 11th is really bringing forward some of the information, official information, as to what it is that's going to happen with MWM now, what our projections are for the next 5 years. I said earlier that I would give you some announcement about that tonight, and, of course, we have begun talking about that since October the 25th, but now we can officially begin to tell you. Now, last night, for example, And we began to give some insight into what is now our regional queens. And two of them were announced last night. And they were Sister Wanda Dickerson, who is the founder, along with her husband, of the Universal Dance and Drum Ensemble, and also Sister Pam Africa. So you're going to learn more now about how the Million Woman Movement is being structured on a national level, which will entail queen councils, so that there can be some forms of accountability, so that there can be some forms of camaraderie that will be on a consistent basis. So the structure that you're going to see presently will represent not only an organization, that of a sisterhood and the development of a nation. So with that said, we're going to go to our live line, and joining us now is our sister Isita, who is the coordinator for an upcoming event that is taking place in the D.C. metro area, or for the D.C. metro area, especially for those sisters who were involved in 1997, the time to reunite, come together, get re-energized, and get ready for what is about to come. Sister Wasito, are you there?
Yes, yes. Okay. Peace and blessings, okay. Sister Empress Filet. Just thank you, first of all, for having me briefly tonight. And just wanted to let the listening audience know that this Thursday, November the 11th, here in the D.C. area, we will host the D.C. Million Women March Reunion. And I'm very excited. The sisters here are excited and anxiously waiting for your arrival, Empress. And we are coming together. The theme for this event is called Rekindling the Spirit. In 1997, 2.5 million individuals gathered in Philadelphia.
That's right.
And the only word that I could think of to describe that unity is just truly, it was just spiritual. It was truly a spiritual connection. I was blessed to be there physically and to even have a part, you know, in organizing the D.C. area to get the sisters there. It was such a tremendous journey. And it's been 13 years, and it's time for us to come full circle again, to reconnect with one another, to relive our history, to, for some, Sister Empress Filet, you will be giving them the truth about the Million Woman March. You will also be sharing with them what the movement will entail for the future. So it's really going to be a great event, not just seeing folk we haven't seen in 13 years, but the knowledge that we'll receive to help us together to move forward in a positive way.
Absolutely.
So if anyone is in the D.C. area on November the 11th, I personally invite you to come join us. Matter of fact, I just want to share a success story. My organization, when I came back from the Million Women March in 1997, I founded Sisters United, and that's S-I-S-T-A-S, United. We've been going strong for 13 years, providing all types of services to the community, whether it's educational, mentoring, support groups for our returning citizens, male and female, also support groups for individuals affected with HIV/AIDS. We have just been covering pretty much every aspect of the needs of our people. And it's been a great journey. Like I said, it started out of the Million Women March. So Sisters United was a continuance of what we learned in 1997. And I think that's a great honor to be able to say that, because we were clearly instructed in Philadelphia in 1997 when we got back home to found something, organize something implement something to help ourselves, our family, our community, and the diaspora as a whole. So, like I said, for me to say Sisters, S-I-S-T-A-S, United, was formed and still going strong today, that's truly a blessing and an honor to do that.
Oh, wow, sister, that's really, it's not only reaffirming, but it is so inspiring because over the years I've heard so many different things and I've asked so many questions. And to me, the questions are oftentimes very foolish because I've had people say, well, you know, you all didn't do this. You could have did that. And I'm like, wow. Rather than you focusing on what we have accomplished, especially against the odds we were dealing with, you want to focus on, well, you didn't do this and you could have did that and you should have did this. And I've heard this over the past 13 years more than I really care to. And, of course, now when I hear such things or if I hear such things, I tend to ask people, so tell me, what did you do to help? What have you
That's
done
right.
to help in the interim?
That's okay. right.
I'll hear people saying that they did something in 1997, some of them. Some of them won't even say they did anything in 1997. But some will say, well, I did something in 1997. Well, okay, and now what? What effort did you really put in to help build from that point on? So these are some of the responses I now give back to people who have these insane questions or comments about certain things. And then the other thing I ask them is, what's your plan?
That's right.
What is your plan? You have so much criticism about something that you really don't know that much about and haven't tried to get the take the time to know about. So with that said, what's your plan? And
exactly.
usually the answer to that is
silence.
Exactly.
I'm feeling you, sister. I'm feeling you because I've been doing the same here since the announcement of the reunion here in the D.C. area. Mm-hmm. As I go to and fro, I've been asking sisters all over, okay, I say, yeah, you heard about the Million Women March reunion? No, I haven't. And I said, well, it's going to take place. And they immediately go into, oh, yeah, I was there in 97.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, cool. Okay, now, why were you there?
Right.
Silence.
Mm-hmm.
Give me one point off the platform. What were we supposed to do when we got back home? Silence.
And you know, sister, this is what I have found to be very interesting and very revealing. People that have attempted to have Million Woman March somethings and would not even bother to contact the founding office, the national office, or any form of originality, would not even take the time to get information about what's going on today or what might have happened, you know, since then, nothing. But we'll bust out there with Million Woman March this or that and have no intention of trying to connect the dots. And I mean, over the years, we have tapped into several. We have a sister Lanier is so sharp. She be tracking down stuff sometime, and it's so funny, you know. But it's beautiful because it's good to now have those kind of watching eyes out there. And we get reports from all over the country. You know, we've got reports from England even. You know, with sisters, you know, doing something, Million Woman something. And I had gotten this a couple of years ago, and literally communicated with the sister there. And initially they were going to call it the Million Woman March. And I told them, I said, y'all don't want to do that. Especially, you know, because it was a multiracial thing. They was having this thing for all women. And I talked to the sister, I mean, literally talked to her on the phone, and she said, well, we have to include all the women. She said, because it ain't a whole lot of us over here. So they had to, they were going to say Million Woman March. They felt they had to have it to be for all of the women in order to try to even come close to that number because it just wasn't, a large amount of black women who would even get involved in anything like that. Needless to say, black women, period, in England. So that was her and I understood that, but I told her sisters, I'm sorry. I cannot allow that. I cannot because it's a divine thing that has happened, and it must remain in its context. So if you're going to call it Million Woman, you got to understand what go with that. And she was kind enough, and so they changed it to something else. But we've had several attempts and, again, several reports. So it's wonderful to see that our network is building and that people who think they're going to disrespect what we've built or pimp or try to pimp us or try to twist it in some other kind of way, they 9 out of 10, they get exposed and they will have to defer. So I'm so happy when, you know, when we connected with you, Sister Wesita, that the spirit was so right. It was so right. You know, and I couldn't help but to, you know, support and be a part of what was, you know, what was being presented.
Yeah, because Sisters United, we take our mission very seriously in giving back to the community. We take pride in saying we are grassroots.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also happy to say that we have been going strong, and we have no grant.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think not many organizations can say that.
That's right.
It's through the grace of God.
That's right.
Coming out of our own pockets and the generosity of various supporters, we are able to take care of our own with our own.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a blessing to be able to say that.
Right.
And I'm so excited that you're going to join us, Empress Filet, because I want sisters to come hear the word for themselves. I want them to be enlightened and educated with the truth from the originator.
Mm-hmm.
Because so many times, sister, a big event will go on and we just jump on stuff.
Right, that's right.
We have no clue what we're jumping on, you know, and we need to stop that. A form of, how can I politically correct say this, a form of miseducation. We'll use that. And because what we don't know and we jumping on stuff can possibly harm
right.
us.
And you know, there's another word now in our vocabulary. You know how black folks do. We create these words to identify
word?
What we're talking about.
What's the
and,
word?
And there's a word called sheeple. That people, our people have become sheeple.
Okay, so we just follow anything.
That's right.
We just follow anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and I was talking to one sister the other day. She was like, well, I haven't heard this. You sure it's going to take place? I haven't heard it on the radio and the news, this and that.
Wow, that sounds familiar.
And I had to tell the sister, whenever there's ever a movement, a positive spiritual movement of people of color,
mm-hmm.
is not going to be televised.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason a lot of media jumped on at the end, because
mm-hmm.
you notice that, sister, you were organizing this years before it even came into
That's right.
reality.
That's right.
And did you have support of media back then?
Not at all. Not at all. I know specifically because I kept very good records about certain things. And the first one media that was an actual newspaper here in Philadelphia, only one came. And that was the Philadelphia Tribune, a brother who's really a part of our extended family, Ross. He covered it and put it into the Philadelphia Tribune. But all of the other invitations to the other newspapers, the black ones in particular, they would not support anything until May of 1997. So you're
Tell
talking
it,
about
sister.
Roughly,
Tell it.
You're talking about just a few months before the actual march.
Hey.
And again, it was pressure from outsiders that really put pressure on people here in Philly, because people were calling from all over the world. They were calling City Hall, calling the newspapers to get information, and they didn't have it because they didn't take the time to try to get it. So
exactly.
when they were forced, because how could this be going on right in your city and you don't know nothing about it? It showed that they were being negligent. So then, after May, they then started to kind of act like they wanted to do something. But up to that point, the city of Philadelphia, the news media, none of those people were accommodating or supportive or whatever.
And it
wasn't until they saw that they couldn't stop it that most of the politicians decided that they would support it.
Exactly. Exactly. And it has not changed, sister, in 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
I like to go on the record of saying that for the upcoming D.C. Million Women March reunion, politicians have been notified, mass media, which is television, radio, and newspaper, they have been notified. Our sororities have been notified. Our social groups in the areas have been notified.
Okay.
Churches have been notified. So if you come down or someone around the D.C. metropolitan area say, well, no one contacted, oh, yes, they were connected. Yes, they were.
Well, and now, on top of that, sister, just so you'll know, tomorrow they will also be contacted from the national office. Some of the local newspapers, as well as some of the congressional people and so forth, because that's just a part of the protocol anyway. But let me say this, and then we're going to have to go to our next live family members getting ready to come on, Brother Ramasus. But I have to say this, and so we can be on record, because, see, now the things that we do, we're going to be able to go back and tell and show people, see, we said it on this date, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm going to make this announcement right now. At the upcoming November 11th activity that Sister Wasita is speaking of, I will then convey the countries that we are getting ready to go into negotiations with to host the Million Women March that will take place in Africa in 2012. I will make that announcement at that event. I will make the announcement as to which countries we are beginning to have negotiations with to host the Million Woman March in Africa in 2012. So those of you who want to come or want to be a part of that historical announcing, by all means, you're invited. Those of you who don't, well, can't say you didn't get the opportunity.
And can I just end this, sister, by giving out some information, if you don't mind, please?
Absolutely.
For those who are interested in participating, first of all, my organization is Sisters United. That's S-I-S-T-A-S United. The telephone number you can reach me at is 240-423-0958. Once again, I'm going to repeat that number is 240-423-0958. Also, you may go to our website. It's www.sistersunited.net. That's S-I-S-T-A-S. United.net. That's www.sistersunited.net.
All right. Well, family, you heard it right here live at New Day Resurrection and Liberation. And again, what we're getting ready to bring forward in terms of the Million Woman March and this movement, we're not playing. It's really going to be about some very serious things now, and any of our sisters and brothers can get involved. But rest assured, this is no more Negro stuff. And we're going to let you know that. We love our people. We embrace all of our people. But rest assured, we are not going to allow anyone or anything to get in our way now. So that announcement, again, will be made November the 11th. We are now planning to bring the Million Women Movement forward between now and October in 2012. We will have covered several continents. We are now presently working on 2 summits, one in the U.S. and one in Canada. So these are some of the special announcements that we said we would tell you about tonight. But also, we're going to let you know more about that on November the 11th. And as I begin to get ready for a national tour for not only our new book, but also for our training programs and so forth, that national tour is going to bring a lot of information out, you know, during that whole processing time. Because we want to make sure that each unit is empowered. Okay? So, again, Sister Wasita, I will see you on the 11th, and we are so thankful that you not only heard the call in 97, but that you are now uplifting and continuing the work in 2010, 11, and on and on and on.
Thank you, my sister, and I look forward to seeing you this week also.
All right, now. Give thanks.
Peace.
Peace to you. All right, family. Okay, that again was Sister Wasita, and I will give out the information as to how you can contact her via email again a little later on if you wish to, if you're in the D.C. metro area. Now, just to give you kind of a recap of what we've done tonight, we have talked a bit about, of course, some MWM things that we said we would tell you about. And for those of you who did not hear what I said, yes, we are preparing to take the Man Woman March to Africa. Yep. We've been working on that for a while. So for those of you who intentionally created a lot of excess drama and tried to just, you know, impede our operations, well, bad move, because all of that now is going to literally be exposed royally. Trust me. Anyway, moving right along. Getting back to the issue, of course, of Mumia Abu-Jamal, tomorrow night is the great debate. All right, so we are looking forward to broadcasting live from the Constitution Center. Now, with that said, our brother, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., I spoke with him earlier today, and he is planning to be here tomorrow night. We're certainly looking forward to not just having him here for the debate tomorrow night, and needless to say, for the hearing on Tuesday, but also as we now begin to discuss and address the whole issue of police and governmental terrorism. Now, of course, last night on our show, we got cut off. So I'm telling everyone tonight, if we get disconnected tonight, just come back in like 5 minutes. We usually are able to get back on. But what we now know is sometimes we start having certain dialogues, every now and then we get disconnected. So we're going to get ready to go and talk with Chairman Fred in a few moments. But I just wanted to let you know in advance, if for some reason we get disrupted again, please come back, and within like 5 minutes, we're usually able, we have a backup system intact tonight, we're usually able to get back on. Now, again, Tuesday, needless to say, 12 o'clock, major rally here in Philly. We've confirmed that the delegation from France is here. We've confirmed that buses are coming in from New York, from New Jersey, from all over the place, okay, as it should be. So now, what we know is, and what we're talking about, what we're getting ready to talk about, too, is, as we look at this case of Mumia Abu-Jamal, as we look at this increase of this, you see, I mean, we can't even say terrorism. These people have become barbaric. They are. I mean, it's obvious. But we know we have to keep it all in context and, you know, give names to stuff. So we'll stick with terrorism at this point. But the bottom line is, we now know, and we're going to go and talk to Chairman Fred about this. This is what we covered last night. We now know that right here in Philadelphia, we have a major unit put in by the Rendell administration, heading up, coming from Israel, to deal with so-called anti-terrorism stuff. Why? Why? What does that really mean? What is that really about? So, with that said, what we have to do is find out what we're going to do. We know that terrorism, we know that misconduct has always existed. But the question now has to be, what are we going to do? With that said, we're going to go to our live line. Chat room will be opened up in 1 minute because we want to see your comments and so forth. But we're going to hear from our brother, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., also the chairman of the POCC, and needless to say, you know, representing all across the board, all things that are relevant to our people and our liberation. Chairman Fred.
Revolutionary love, respect, Empress, how are you?
Oh, brother, I'm good. We good. And I don't know if you got a chance to hear Sister Basima earlier.
My phone's going in and out. I got bits and pieces of the update and information that I was laying out.
Okay. Well, let me just give you – well, first let me finish giving you the greetings, brother. Give thanks. I'm always a pleasure to connect and talk with you, and I can't wait to see you tomorrow.
Oh, yes, indeed. We on cloud 1,000 in the words of my daddy, Chairman Fraser, say we have the people. We charged up. We ready to roll. Look forward to touching bases with all, you know, some of the courageous forces on that end. You know what I'm saying? Because, again, as we always say, we cannot afford the luxury, you know, the set trips. I'm just going out to Chicago, or it just happened in Oakland or Philadelphia. In the words of Marcus Garvey, one struggle, one people. And we're going to let the brothers and sisters on that end know, when we say we got your back like a backpack, we mean that.
I know that's right. Well, brother, before we go into, of course, this whole thing with, I don't even know what to call it in terms of the decision that came down with the murder of Brother Oscar Grant. But before we go into that, I want to just give you a recap of something because I need you to know this too so you can get ready for it.
Yeah.
What happened here in Philly was we were able to successfully push out an attempt. And I don't know if you heard about this, but if not, let me just fill you in a little bit on it so you know what you're coming into when you get here, in addition to what you already know. And that is there was an attempt to hold hearings on police misconduct here in Philly on Tuesday. Okay? There was an attempt by city council members and members in the community to hold hearings on December the 9th. So, with that said, and by the way, Sister Basima, Sister Pam, myself, and a bunch of other brothers and sisters, got on post and dealt with it. And as a result, city council decided to, change the date. But that was a real struggle. So I'm going to give you more information about that later on. The reason why I'm raising that is because we talked earlier about actions that we got to begin to do in our community in addressing certain kinds of situations. And needless to say, any time, not only city council, but so-called groups and individuals who say they are about social justice, anytime they deliberately try to go up against something of life and death, we need to talk about that.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. So just hold that point for right now and, give me your views, insight, or what have you, commentary, et cetera, on this. Again, I'm lost for words. That's a rarity, too. The Oscar Grant.
In reference
decision.
To the case about according to the decision, we still, as we speak, we're still getting updates from the decision that was late, rendered. Not say updates, I'm talking about the updates in particular to the community's response to the 2-year sentence rendered by Judge Robert Perry, and needless to say, it's an insult. To the African community in particular, to the people in general. A few interviews back, we had seen how the writing was on the wall. Everything from the lack of African people. Placed on the jury, and just the whole with the potential, what type of discussions that can come about this whole thing. The discussions such as this whole fraud of this judicial system. Again, it's something that was a lot of us in the progressive community that we understand. It's a fraud, but this even reference to discussing about the Constitution, as Minister UEP Newton said, the Constitution really is nothing more than pagan poetry.
Right.
In other words, it sounds good.
I like that.
Yes, indeed, it sounds good. in fact. It sounds good to the point if you throw some music behind a lot of it may make a bestseller for a song, but when it comes down to being applicable, to benefiting our communities, we see what type of responses we dealt with.
Right.
We got to seize the time to further expose to the community that this system ain't interested in no justice. Because if that be the case. Criminals such as George Bush and BP, oil and the rest of these gangsters and banksters who, foreclosed on our properties, responsible for implementing policies like Renaissance 2010 in Chicago, shutting these schools down, institutions that, are responsible to slum lords in our community, the merchants that place the poison in our communities to sell us these bad meats, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
These criminals would have been buried up under the penitentiary.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen, a blatant example, this pig, Johannes Mercy, was on videotape the whole deal,
right.
the whole nine yards, we seen this, you know, seen this fraud, you know, this fraud of this judicial system exposed. And Malcolm X said that America's democracy is an hypocrisy. And so I just want to say that we really stress to supersede all the legal mumble jumble that they will put out with maybe, you know, was this type of legality follow through with, was this T crossing, this I dotted, and that we don't get caught up in the sidetracking of slave, and be very clear that the world be very clear,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, saying, I mean very, you know very little has changed, you know, saying, in the way the African people, you know, saying, are treated, you know, saying, inside the United States, and in particular, and this whole question of the role of the police, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Not just this whole, you know, and they, not to serve and protect, but again, act instead of occupying an army to implement and instill fear in our communities, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And this is, and the other detrimental effects that come down with this is when people talk about how discussions about what some people refer to as the black on black crime. People, you know, people look and they say, well, man, this is how black people are treated. Again, it's Rodney Dangerfields of all races. In other words, no respect, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want, you know, really want to seize the time to further expose these contradictions and also extend a clenched fist again to the courageous community in Oakland, California, who takes a position to understand that it's right to resist, it's right to rebel, and, you know what I'm saying? And I disagree with the term that Dr. King used, but I think it was politically incorrect when he said, riots, you know what I'm saying? We do distinguish riots from rebellion, but Dr.
Right.
King himself has said riots are the voice of the is the voice of the unheard. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You have, you know, these rebellions,
mm-hmm.
you know, occurring, you know, in community and colonized community after colonized community,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, saying, after, you know, they exhaust all legal remedies, you know, saying, go through the whole procedure. We've seen from day one. You know what I'm saying? Everything from this, from when this pig gunned this young brother down,
mm-hmm.
From him leaving the state of California, later, I think, caught up in Las Vegas. You've seen this system working, the system of white power,
mm-hmm.
working in his benefit. You know what I'm saying? Even just to this situation now, they have the audacity to talk to his lawyers. They're talking about how they're going to appeal the decision. They're not even satisfied with that decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm talking about the criminal, the police, for lack of better terms. They're gonna,
right.
they say, I mean, if anything, you would think these criminals would be happy and satisfied. So, okay, we get off. And, you know, some of the arrogance of white power to say, no, we're gonna move. We still, that's still too much. You know what I'm
right.
saying? So these are some, you know, some of, again, we've been getting brought up to date. I'm getting phone calls. Matter of fact, that's my phone ringing on the line from Oakland, California.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a number of different responses, you know, from the community. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
just want to make sure that we stress that we connect all these cases. You know what I'm saying? The press issue that's happening right there in Philadelphia, the brother Skier.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We can't set trip and we respect no colonial borders. And again, define this as what it is, police terrorism.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So we really want to stress that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And of course, when you come in, you will meet with Brother Esquire. He's looking forward to meeting with you.
Yes,
him and his cousin. I think you talked with him. We were on the phone the other day, Brother Kareem. So they're looking forward to meeting and building with you as well. But, Brother, you know, one of the things that we talked about before, and when you come, we'll be able to now really kind of focus on that, and that is, you know, getting into some of the codes, some of the street codes and other things that's relevant to us so that we can really not only discuss it, examine it, but see how, in fact, we're going to be able to put some of this into motion, because we already see that we are up against a monster. There's no question.
Yes.
So it's going to be so important for us to really become more organized. It's not to say
yes.
we're not organized, we're not doing certain things, but certainly we've got to get better. We got to do
yes.
better.
Yes. We struggle to be able to distinguish a war from revolution. We've acknowledged the fact that, you know, in the wars we get two occupying armies and they get out to get out.
Mm-hmm.
A revolution when we gain the mass, the participation of the mass of the people, and that's what we're struggling for. We are in a little battle for the mass and hearts of the people. But we must stress and understand, such the fundamental fact that people, we have to heighten the level of consciousness of the people, that they be able to distinguish riots from rebelling, that they be able to distinguish stealing from liberating, and also, in particular, that they distinguish the criminal from the victim. Because we're dealing with, as you stated, we're dealing with a monster, but it's a Machiavellian monster. This is a machine. This is a system that has the ability to flip the script on us. What I mean by that is to attack us and somehow map us, you know what I'm saying, if we're not careful, to make us appear as if we're the criminals, you know. And it is so important. A lot of people say, well, we can draw for a foregone conclusion that people understand, you know what I'm saying, who's on the right, you know, who's on the correct side of the question. It's not there are no foregone conclusions, and we must fight to politicize the people and fight for structure. You know, because we understand that without the people, revolution is impossible, and the people are our best security. We must approach this struggle from not an absolute that everybody's going to be some sort of frontline freedom fighter. There are roles for everyone to play at some point of unity to the struggle, you know. And we must as servants of the people, study the people and see what they're doing and tweak these tactics. Everything from say we got cats on the streets that they're doing their thing, up to ante. We have what we refer to as a code of conduct. Well, certain things, you know, saying certain things are not allowed, and certain things with their guidelines, we say, okay, are you going to bang? You know, say bang for freedom, and we take the same energy. We say we don't want to throw no water on this rage, because it's a justified rage. You know, what I'm saying, you being oppressed, but to redirect this energy, you know, what I'm saying, at some point you want to fight for the struggle of our people. We have the culture. Well, mantra for that is that there are too many of us in Sing Sing for some cats just to be talking about some bling bling. So to take these talents, you know, so through these poetry sets from these spoken word circles, so on and so forth, and then use these talents, you know, saying the intertwine it to talk about the cases of the Move 9, the cases of Brother Skier, the cases of Mumia Abu Jamal, the cases of, you know, everyday struggles that we going through in our community. In other words, you know, saying that to take these talents and make them applicable for us. And we have what we call the educational ethic. You know what I'm saying? This is what we approach the universities and the various learning institutions. And we say, what Minister UEP Newton said, that take the bourgeoisie skills and make them work in the interest of the other people. You know, because a lot of times, again, we see what this government do, they implement this, or what we call, what they refer to in Africa, is a brain drain. They go rob our country of its best resources. I'm not just talking about the gold and the copper and the oil. I'm talking about the minds and bodies of our best. And they take these talents and they send them over to these different harvests and these institutions in England. And next thing you know, these people will be talking about how to advance the interests of the ruling class, the same ruling class that's responsible for, you know, saying having their mothers and their brothers and their sisters living in squalor and living in horrid conditions. We say, no, flip the script. Take the talents, you know, again, and implement the work in the interest of the community. So these are the type of the various, so just some of the codes, the tactics that we got to be able to go out to hit the community with.
Right.
A lot of times people think that we or it would be ideal for all the masses of people just to come to our, you know, to a venue that we call, but we have to have outlets or places to land for the masses of the people, you know, to get involved in the struggle. And also, again, when we always stress what Stephen Biko said, or the Black Conscious Movement, we must be able to distinguish intelligence from the ability to articulate. We must be able to distinguish intelligence from the ability to articulate. A lot of our forces, they will not be able to run down the platform, you know what I'm saying? They will not be able to articulate certain words and terms, you know, the different political lingo or jargon. But again, through practice, you know what I'm saying, we must wed theory and practice to get the people involved to understand, look, this is I'm on the right side of the question. It's not right to unite with, you know what I'm saying, with this Negro district attorney. I don't care, we don't say how black he
That's
is.
Right.
If he's talking about making a move on Mumia Abu Jamal, it's wrong. It's not right to unite, you know what I'm saying, with some poverty pimps and soothsayers and some politicians that come in who we never see before February, who we never see before election time, to pop up on us and run some guilt trip on us the day before election day, you know what I'm saying, and just say, well, if we don't vote, you know what I'm saying, we don't care about the community, and
right.
These same individuals who treat us like mistresses who never take us out, you know what I'm saying, come in in the middle of the night and just, I don't want to say make love to us, they want to do something else to us, so I don't want to be too graphic on the radio, but we must up the ante, you know what I'm saying, say no. We might don't know terms like electoral college. We might don't know some of these different terms, but we know when we know when someone's disrespecting our interests. We know when people are not working into the community, and we must be upfront. We must be confident. In fact, we must be cocky about taking a position and saying, no, we are victims, but we are fighting back victims, and we will no longer be disrespected.
That's right. Well, my brother, we only have a few minutes left, but we come back tomorrow. We're going to, again, broadcast live from the Constitution Center. You're going to hear the debate right here at New Day Resurrection and Liberation. So, folks, tune in. We'll be sending out an e-blast a little later on, if not tonight, early tomorrow, to let you know what time we're going to actually broadcast. But you're hearing right now Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. You're going to hear him again, if not tomorrow, on Tuesday, when we're literally at the rally. We'll be broadcasting live from the rally as well on Tuesday. And Chairman Fred, I just want you to know that one of the things that I like to put on record in terms of the Million Women Movement now, and that is our intent to build with POCC to map out some future strategies and yeah. activities that we now want to do. I'm in the process of now recruiting especially sisters who yeah. feel that they want to have a more active role in certain types of liberation work. We're going to deal with training, both yeah. from a mental, physical, and spiritual level. So I'm going to be making that announcement also in a couple of days for sisters who really are now prepared to make the commitment, as many of us sisters have in the past and certainly have exhibited in Africa, throughout Africa, when there was an armed struggle for liberation. There were many
yes,
sisters
indeed.
Who were involved in that. So
yes.
I'm not trying to sugarcoat anything. I'm trying to be very clear that the fact that MWM has many components, hopefully
yes.
something for any sister that wants to be involved, but certainly something for those sisters who are discipline-oriented and have the inkling or the willing that to want to do some other things. So with that said, Chairman Freer, when you come, we want to begin to map out points of unity.
Empress, I look forward to that. Let me say, I caught bits and pieces of some of this, the struggles and contradictions, you know, that you were talking about, NWM was going through. And from a person and from a representative of an organization that, dealing with internal struggles and dealing with, you know what I'm saying, the counterinsurgency, dealing with, attempts to co-opt the legacy or what it represents. You know, just you know, clench fists till you can keep doing what you do. And it's a number of ways we can, you know, we can look at these, you know, struggles that we go through. A lot of times we can go through, we can get demoralized. And the fact is we all go through battle fatigue. And it's a fight. It's a battle. We go through battle fatigue.
Yes, indeed.
But on a positive end, another way of looking at this is we got to be doing something right. I'm talking about the amount of energy that people are investing to say, to try to co-opt it, to try to say, well, just change this around and just, you know, people who, and you must see, a lot of times we try to be liberal and say, well, no, this is someone made a mistake, but we must acknowledge that anything that we do in our own interest, it's going to be a straight out attack by the system. It's going to be an attack directly, indirectly, covertly, and overtly. Mm-hmm. They're going to come at us with bullets. They're going to come at us with sugar coated bullets, mm-hmm. as what Chairman Mao referred to.
They're
going to come with people, send people to usurp organization, hijack a co op. But they're gonna come out with straight out, you know, as we know how they would get out. And I say, down to the system, I mean, straight out murder. You know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? Lock us up, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But just, I mean. Again, just, you know, man, steel sharp and steel, men and women sharp and men and women.
That's
and,
right.
You know, just, you know, keep on, you know what I'm saying? And, again, we look forward to being in touchdown with y'all in the flesh, you know what I'm saying? And, keep your head up, your eyes open, your fists clenched, and just revolutionary respect for MWM. And that's what it's just about.
Brother, give thanks. And again, you know, as the sister said earlier, we've come full circle now. So.
Yes.
You know, we've gone through some level of trials and tribulations, which
yes.
is to be expected because there's nothing that has
part
happened. That's right. It's a part of the growth and development. So,
yes.
you know, it had to happen. Unfortunately,
yes,
there's some things that I wasn't really expecting,
yes.
but, hey,
yes.
it's all good. and I'm still standing, and I'm standing
yes,
with honor and integrity.
No doubt about it.
It just so happened, Chairman Fred, when Sister Basim was on earlier, she talked about specifically the situation with entities here in Philly attempting to create a smoke screen, you know, just to put it straight up, in terms of Tuesday, trying to get people to come to a hearing that they know people are concerned about, which is police, you know, misconduct, brutality or whatever. They know that people in the city are very concerned about that. So they figured, here, we're going to do this thing, and that way, because we know that this is right here in Philly and they want their voices heard, we're going to create this venue for them and put it right up at the same time that the rally and Mumia's hearing is. Now, we talked about this, and Sister Basima made it very clear who some of the people were involved in it. Wouldn't you know? One of the same females that was running around talking about she was so involved in the Million Woman March, someone that I didn't even meet until 3 months before the march, it is one of the key people that attempted to hold these hearings. One of the same key people. So I say that to say in validation of keep being consistent and staying very firm in your position. If you really comprehend and understand some of the dynamics of that, it will begin to weed out those people who are, you know, sent to you or into you to you know, throw things off track or to create chaos or whatever. If you stay firm in what you're doing and understand and know, it can more than likely handle whatever else is going on and expose it. And that is exactly what has happened.
No doubt about it. And I just want to say this too. As I said earlier, we must learn to be able to distinguish rioting from rebelling, stealing from liberating. We must also be able to distinguish coincidence from conspiracy. A lot of times we say, "Well, this just happened. This, you know, this is the same individuals and some of the same." Like in Chicago right now, there's a whole discussion about this electoral politics and Daley has said he's supposed to resign.
Mm-hmm.
They bringing in some of the same players they used before to hijack different issues. I mean, a lady named Carol Moses DeBron, they brought in. She's bringing the same players in. You know, the Daley machine. You know, it's like, wait a minute, how is this? A lot of times we tell people we met these forces before. They just had different names, so ain't nothing new under the sun. You know what I'm saying? So again, you know, they come. The system comes at us with bullets. Sugar-coated bullets, you know what I'm saying? They try to kill us or co-opt us, one or the other. And we know some of us ain't going for the co-opting.
That's right. Well, that's what I told a brother associate the other day. I said, well, at this stage of the game, the only thing that I have to lose, and I ain't really losing that, is my life. And I said, in reality, I'll be back. I'll be back with a new one anyway. So,
one guy on the streets told me one time, he said, Tammy, he said, you crazy, talking about dying for the people. I said, I'm crazy. I know guys that's dying for cars, drugs, and dope strips.
That's right.
I say, furthermore, you can't kill cats like me. I say, man, God, we live. Malcolm lives.
We like baby kids.
Man, you can't.
We don't die, we just multiply.
Man, I'm trying to tell you, you can't do it. In the words of Chairman Fred, you can kill a revolutionary, but you can't kill a revolution.
Kill a revolution.
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
The beat goes on, no doubt about it.
That's what we're talking about.
Yes,
well, my brother, I mean, needless to say, it's on.
Yes,
and,
indeed.
You know, we're going to do what we need to do. Family,
yes,
we thank all of you for tuning in.
Give all the force to the people, revolution that love. I look forward to seeing y'all, to the same fam, a tag team, you know, Mona Africa, all the forces on that end. Sisters of Empress, I look forward to seeing y'all. So keep y'all heads up, eyes open, and fists clenched. And let's make history. Let's take history.
That's right. No doubt. All right, my brother. I will see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. Yes, indeed.
All right. Good day.
All right,
family. We are down to our last minute, as we said. Again, that was Chairman Fred Hampton, Jr. We're going to be with our brother tomorrow and Tuesday, and we will certainly keep you abreast of what's going on. I want to remind you again that the Million Woman March is indeed on the move. We have activated our movement during the course of this week. I'll be giving you more updates on that. again, for those sisters who are now interested in going into some forms of actual training, both physically and metaphysically, we now have some things just for you. We're going to give you more information about that tomorrow as well. In the meantime, remember, our focus, one of our key focuses, is that of the attainment of what we call now 3 to the 3rd power. That's P to the third power, meaning prosperity, power, and peace. But remember, there can be no peace without justice. And with that said, I say, Ma'at Hotep.